This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, CFAL, CG Atlantic General, Commonwealth Bank, the Cotton Tree Convenience Store, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Ross Electric Motors, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Bahamas, welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So great to have you with us. All right. We're going to talk about a few national issues today and kind of understand where we are with it. We're also going to talk a bit about it's the United States independence, and it's also the week of our independence. Well, next week is independence. But we want to delve into some of those issues of our independence, the U.S. independence, although we don't have to delve into the U.S. too deeply, and so forth. And we're going to talk about some other things. But before I got started materially today, I wanted to just send a shout out to the family of Andre Paul. He passed away a few days ago in hospital. I'll give you a bit of background on how that happened and how that impacted me, although I didn't even know him that well. I know his kids. A couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, his son, Anwar, sent me a message and said, you know, hey, bro, how you doing? You know, my dad's in the hospital. He's not doing great. My brother asked if you could maybe send him a word of encouragement with a voice note or whatever you can. If it's too much, you know, don't worry about it. But I thought it might be a nice gesture. It might pick up his spirits. So I said, absolutely, no problem. I absolutely will do that. And I had met him before. He listened to the show religiously. And, you know, he was just so, when I met him, he was so pleased to meet me. And he was encouraging. And he told me he loved what I was doing. You know, he's a professional guy. He really took great care of his kids. I went to school with his daughter, Audra, and his son, Anwar, really well. His other son is Ari. And I sent him a note and I sent him, you know, some encouragement and talked to him. And I was hoping that I could, you know, go out and get a conch salad and a beer with him after he recovered. Because Anwar keeps telling me he's going to buy me some beers. It's like another guy I know, Gary. I owe you a conch salad. Bring the conch salad, Gary. What you doing? Wait. I got to set an appointment. Go pick up the conch salad. No orange. Bring it to me. Extra pepper. All right. So I told him, I said, you know, be encouraged. And we're gonna go out. We're going to grab a beer and a conch salad when you get out of there. No problem. It happens. Everyone goes through tribulations. And then Anwar told me, you know, that he had passed. And that really struck a chord with me because there are instances in your life where you may not have realized it about yourself before, but the time will come when you will do anything. You will ask just about anything of anyone if you think it's going to buy you more time, if you think it's going to help, if you think it's going to save the life of someone you love. Anything at all, right? And what I wanted Anwar and his family to understand, if they don't, maybe they do, is that I went through this with my father too. And I think it's important that we reflect often on why we're doing this whole life thing. We get caught up in the ups and downs of it, the friends, the business, the career, the schooling, et cetera, love life, or our social life. But at the end of the day, we're doing this if we're true to ourselves and true to what God wants us to do. We're doing this because we love the people in our lives and we want to make their lives better. And we're trying to live our lives in an orderly, organized manner so that we can have the best for the people that we love. When my father was sick with renal cancer, it came on very suddenly. And he was diagnosed. And 4 months later, he was gone. I held on to the hope that something would work. Something's going to break. Something's going to give. I should have known he was in PMH for 2 weeks. They're supposed to do surgery and everything, but they kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Then they released him to go home. I should have understood better then. So much so, I was so hopeful that he would survive that as he lost weight, my father stopped eating. The only thing he would eat would like be ice cream or something like that. I get angry at him because he wasn't eating. And in my mind, that meant you're not trying hard enough, you know? And I didn't quite understand that his body was shutting down. All right. And it's not that he didn't want to live. It's not that he didn't want to stick around. It's that the clock was ticking and the expiration date can't be moved. It's not in our control. And so when my father died, it was very, very hard for me. When my mother died, it was even tougher, but this is a different circumstance I'm talking about. When my father died, it was very, very hard for me because I did not wrap my mind around what was staring me right in the face, which was that he's not going to make it. And my mother spent even more time with my father, morning, noon, and night. I went to work. I tried to make sure that everything was going okay with career-wise so we could pay the bills and take care of it. We were searching out different options for cancer treatments, et cetera. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to take him to Cuba. We can't get to the States, he didn't have insurance that would have covered a stay in the States, and we didn't have the savings for it. And I really wasn't prepared for it. And it took me several years to realize this, not until I became a father myself. Because when your father's sick and dying, or someone you love, or is a father figure to you, they're dying. Like I said, you'll do anything. You'll ask God anything. You'll promise anything. All right. Because you want to help your parent to live, you know, within reason. They tell me, although I pray to God I never find out, that if it is your child who is sick and, terminal, that there's nothing you won't do, which again, I hope to never find out. But in any event, you'll do anything to try to save that person, try to keep them here with you longer. And I'll tell you something that my son said recently, although I realized this before. It wasn't until I became a father that I understood what a father means in your life and how a father feels about their children and about this thing called life. You want support, you want loyalty, you want love, you want respect as a father. You want your family to do well. You want to make sure they're protected and that they're provided for. And what I didn't understand that I understand now is that's enough. Okay, so my son said to me the other day, he said something similar yesterday, but we were talking about the beet retreat, but we won't get into that. My son said to me the other day, Daddy, when I'm prime minister, I hope you'll still be here to see that. All right. And I said, you don't have to do anything more to be prime minister than become elected with the majority seats in parliament. And you have to be 21. So you could be prime minister in like 12 years, for all I know, you know, and I certainly plan on being here. I hope I am, if, the Lord keeps me. But I thought to myself also, you know what, if I'm around in 12, 15, 20 years, as I hope to be, and he's not prime minister, this is enough. Like, to have watched you come into the world, to watch you grow, to watch you develop and become this singular human being, that I had a part in shaping that and molding that and protecting that. As a father, for me, I want to be here. I want to see my grandchildren. My father never saw me got married. He never met my kids, and he would have just loved them. My kids would have loved him. I think about that all the time. But I think, and I feel, often feel this deep sense of regret that didn't happen on my part selfishly, and regret for him because he would have loved that. But I think to myself that, you know what, it was enough. And so I was very broken up when my father died, but the fact that my father was there for me through any adversity he went through, he took care of me, he provided for me. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was my father and he was the person I most wanted to be like in the world. And that's enough. So I'll say to Anwar and his family and the family of Andre Mitchell that I know you want him to be here. You want him to experience more because he worked so hard up to this point. And it's so difficult to let it go. But having met your father, having understood the kind of guy he was from his kids, I'm telling you, it was enough. That won't make you less sad. That won't make you feel less of a sense of loss. It won't make you feel less empty. But that he had so much time with you, that he knows that you guys are on the correct path to continue the lineage that he was a part of, that he could hand that off to you as a father, that's enough. It's not everything. It's not all of what we would wish as fathers. But just to see you become who I thought you would be, and even more than I never imagined, it's enough. So be encouraged. Anwar, Audra, Ari, be encouraged. And nobody's gonna tell you don't mourn. There'll be times that it grips at your heart, feel a bit lost. But your father's looking down on you with nothing but pride, and knowing that he did a job well done. So you guys, make sure and take care of the people you love. Make sure and let the people you love know you love them. You don't have to say, I love you, but let them know you love them, demonstrate that you love them while they are here. And it does make their passing in time that much easier. All right. So we're going to take a break. Again, rest in peace, Andre Mitchell. I know you're going to be doing big things in heaven. And I can assure you that your family's going to be fine and that you did a great job setting them on their path. All right. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some national issues. And Father's Day is coming up, right? Or is Father's Day gone? Father's Day is gone. Yeah, in June. And you had another Father's Day with him, which is special, right? So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
At Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do. And our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our ranch chicken sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new buffalo ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your buffalo ranch chicken sandwich today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Will Max Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Will Max Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable certainty, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has stood the test. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
To the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we're going to talk some national issues. The first thing I want to talk about is this, because I don't want people to get the wrong impression of my position on this, because people are quick to start making noise, right? But again, we have this issue of travel by the prime minister. And I'm of two minds. Well, not really two minds. I look at it this way. So Dwayne Sash, chairman of the FNM, he's talking about the prime minister's travel and saying there's so much hell breaking loose back home. This murder situation is a problem. The chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party has responded, yet I saw Latre Ramming from the OPM was responding as well. The prime minister was about a week ago in Rwanda, Kigali, and he had a large delegation with him, and people thought that, you know, that wasn't that all of them didn't have to be there, and it wasn't a great look. And now he's in Suriname at CARICOM. Now listen, it's a CARICOM heads of government meeting, right? We're a member of CARICOM, as much as y'all don't try to claim the Caribbean. And you should go to the CARICOM heads of government meeting, right? You should also go to the Commonwealth heads of government meeting. You just came in office. Nobody knows you. I much prefer you make stronger ties in Africa and East Asia, as they've been trying to do, then you just, you know, go into the summit of the in hobnobbing with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden when nothing really seems like it's going to make any sort of concrete movement for us anyway. I'd much rather that. I got no problem with you going to LA for the summit either. I got no problem with you going to see jazz at the baseball game. I got no problem with you going to see Kai at the basketball, none of that. I got no problem. Buddy, shout out to Buddy for helping us pull off that win too. I got no problem with none of that. And I think the prime minister definitely should travel. Now, does it look a little, you know, I'm just passing through. Hey guys, when you come back from Rwanda and all y'all trek off to Suriname a few days later, it could send a bad signal. All right. But the prime minister does need to travel. All right, we get it. So I'm not tripping off the prime minister traveling. We're going to talk about Dwayne Sand's statement. My issue with the travel, because somebody asked me, like, how are we doing the other day? Big time PLP. Right? On one of the boards, actually. And I said, yeah, I think you guys are doing pretty well. I was like, there's stuff that's sticky, right? So we got to figure out this NIB thing, this unemployment thing, this crime thing, you know. Issues like this, but you know, I think 9 months in, it's good. You guys haven't made any major missteps. All right. There's been, you know, quite a bit of clout chasing going on, but that happens, right? I said, but if there's one thing I would say that can become a problem that's going to be exploited, and I don't blame politicians for politicking. I never go, oh, look, a politician made a political statement. How shocking, how inappropriate. I never, ever do that, right? Now, I don't think you need to make certain things political, like national addresses, et cetera. But I never, ever, ever am shocked when a politician says something political, makes anything political, all right? Except, you know, homeboy during the pandemic with the national address. I didn't think that was appropriate. But anyway, it is what it is. All right. So Sand says sometimes you just need to stay home and do some work, control more than 72 murders per year. Nah, I feel you. Sand is trying to capitalize. So again, I'm not tripping, right? What you expect homeboy to do, like what you expect Brave to go, what you want to go into patrol car and put on a vest and go ride around and like go check the shot spotter and like what you want him to do. I don't get it. Like he gonna stay home if he can't fight crime from Suriname? I'm confused, right? He should be back tomorrow for the police commissioner handover. We'll see. Yeah, so Brave could stay home and do some work. Like, what are we looking for? Like, I should go out to the corner and check, see a Brave out there and everyone else who went to the CARICOM meeting with him, all right, with the 72 murders. Brave going to come back and the killer's going to go, well, Brave's back in town. So, you know, better pipe down, right? You're already on a record count, which is nothing to be proud of. So the problem, I don't buy that. Like, yeah, Brave got to stay here and Brave, nah, don't come back here talking about you and read the NIB report. And nobody helped you when you say stuff like that. The player, this is kind of important. All right. You might want to, you know what? I'm not even tripping. You don't want to read the report? That ain't no problem. This happens to me, right? Your bosses go, respond to this email, all right? Erica has a query, respond to Erica. I don't need to go, let's go through the interim code of practice and read it line by line. They want you to brief them and say, this is what's going on, all right? You got Miles LaRota, and this is your portfolio at the end of the day. You have responsibility for this, ultimately, right? National Insurance is the prime minister's portfolio. So you have Miles LaRota, Fish McKenzie, Philip McKenzie. He's the chairman of NIB. That ain't no thing to call them in and bring one actuary and be like, man, y'all, I got 45 minutes. Hit me. What's going on with NIB? And Brave Davis was previously chairman of NIB many years ago, so he understands how NIB works, right? Just don't come back here saying you need to read the report. That's not good enough. If I could read the report, I mean, you know, and I ain't nobody. I don't have a lot of free time. If I could sit down and read the report, certainly you can. So don't come back here and do that. But at the same time, you got to go, right? You got to go and meet the world leaders and meet your CARICOM leaders. Now, I don't know who telling you go hit them up about climate change. Every time you see a room full of people, I mean, I would shift. There's a lot, but I understand he wants to focus on climate change and carbon credits. I think it's a good thing, but I don't know that needs to be the message everywhere. Like he's carrying the torch of let's fight climate change. Let's do more here. Da, da. You know, I don't know that's a major concern, certainly, but the Caribbean has many, many concerns as does the Bahamas. All right. The problem I told the guy I have is that it's not that Brave Davis is traveling. It is that Brave Davis is traveling with a bunch of people who probably don't need to go. And does that sound petty? Like I'm looking at the size of the delegate, but it is what it is. That's how I'm looking. What the person say, y'all jealous? Yeah, no, sure thing. I'm. You consider me to be bad mind that way and I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I got a problem with the size of the delegation. When you throw it in my face, that ain't going to help nothing. That make you feel better when you talk about who jealous. When I start voting a particular way, it's going to feel a lot different, I could tell you that. So the issue really is the size of the delegation and who is going with you and the fact that the travel is back to back to back to back to back. Like, marinate for a bit, you know? Because the Bahamian people ain't really going to sit down and go over your itinerary and be like, well, you know, I could see why that happened, and I could see why he went this day. And he get, they're not into all that. They could be, look, man, you look like you gone more than you here. Okay. Now, if it's just you, okay. But everyone, it'd be cheesing and smiling and creasing up on the plane. And you know, y'all got good accommodations where you're going and travel and Bahamian people paying their per diem. And, you know, it ain't like that. All right. So understand the Bahamian people are going to feel a certain way about this. And you really got to pay attention to it. All right. Because what's true is we still have major issues at home, and you do want to be seen to be giving it a lot of consideration. And I know what you're hearing. You're like, haters going to hate, yada, yada, yada. But the travel thing, although it is a relatively simple thing in the context of a $3 billion budget, it's $15 million, which is a lot. Again, if these millions don't mean nothing, slide one my way, all right? It's not a huge thing in the context of a $3 billion expenditure, which we're borrowing heavily to finance, right? But it's a thing, right? It's a thing that can shape how people feel about the administration, because in politics, you know, appearance is often more important than intention. And if then people are usually going to feel that, all right? Now, I don't think Brave should go around, like, you don't have to be here and go put on fatigues and a balaclava and go kick in fools' doors trying to execute warrants to show, like, oh, he's serious about crime now. You know what I mean? And I don't think that he needs to be here and go, well, NIB, there's a crisis meeting on NIB, and let's have a big show. Because they had this thing before where they were like, oh, yeah, call everybody in to the OPM. We're going to sit around and talk crime stakeholders. And that's fine, right? But it looked more like optics than actual, this is a real strategy meeting. It looked like, okay, let's call the police in, brief the politician. And that's all you wanted. That's fine. But that doesn't, to me, telegraph that we're really in control of the crime situation. Because I don't know that y'all are. And there's a lot of armed robberies going on, too, now. That people say aren't being reported. I saw a video of some guys in like one of these little small Japanese cars, right? Something is getting to y'all when y'all get behind the wheel of these Japanese cars. Like the car must start talking to you, like Christine, Stephen King, the Christine. It's a movie, it's a book, I know. I'm asking a lot for people to read books. It's a movie too. Christine, the car was demonically possessed. When y'all hop in these little Paso and whatever it is, Swift and all this, something has happened, something rewires inside y'all mind. I swear it. Okay, so I saw a video of, I kid you not, there's a Paso, I think it's a Paso, like Blue Paso, it was somewhere in New Providence. I'm not sure where, and they said it was recently. The video was in my neighborhood watch group. And a guy drives up in his tinted up little Paso, right? A guy hops out with a machete, and I'm like, oh man, Jesus, something about to go down. Is he robbing someone with a machete? What's gonna happen, right? Dude runs into the bushes and goes and like, with a bushel of bananas. Maybe it was planted. Come on, man. All this y'all be talking to me about poverty and need and the crimes, is if we don't find the fellas jobs, you telling me this dude riding around in a Paso, his boy driving him, two dudes got together and go, look, man, I seen somebody who ain't got a fence. They got a bunch of planting in the yard. Let's go. We gonna come up. Let's go get these plants. Y'all just like thief. Y'all just like to steal. Y'all ain't doing nothing during the day. I don't know who you can sell these black market plantains to, right? Y'all just like to steal. Just say it. Just say we enjoy living a life of crime, right? It's what we're comfortable with. It's what we know, all right? We're going to go steal. If you riding around, if you and your boy or girl or whoever got time to ride around looking for unguarded plantains, and got your machete and ready to go get the planting, y'all ain't focused. Okay? I'd rather you ride around and go nuts to go raid. Although don't take nothing that ain't yours. Don't get shot. You willing to get shot behind some plantings. If you run up in my yard with a machete going full speed, it's a problem. All right? I know what can happen. I'd rather deal with you and end that right there and then let the police come and we work it all out afterward than me figure out what you're trying to do with this machete. Y'all stealing planting, man. That's what y'all into around here. Y'all ain't focused. Right? So the crime thing is a problem. The NIB thing is a problem. The Prime Minister should be very careful to not cultivate within his first year and solidify this and have it like concretize of the perception he's showing. Now, I don't buy the thing that, yeah, brave. If he ain't here, that's why they're killing people. Or, you know, because that's really what you're talking about. If he was here killing each other, I don't buy that. All right? So the travel thing ain't my issue as far as the PM going. It's everybody else. The delegation don't have to be that big. And I know, Hayden, I want y'all to see Suriname. I heard the mountains are nice. I want y'all to go see Kigali, right? And go hook up with our African brothers and sisters for certain. All right? But everybody don't need to go. So be cognizant of that. All right? And again, I'm no hater. I don't know why your speechwriter going when it's just variations on the same speech that you're given around the world. I'm not saying it's not important. Climate change is a very real issue. I'm not saying you shouldn't be like carrying the torch for it. That's fine. I don't mind. I wish you would do more intentionally here to get us off fossil fuel and really, you know, we could start preaching to the world like, look, man, we had to get totally off it. Don't matter what business interests are involved. We had to get off it. But I don't think the problem is him. I think it's that it's a large delegation. And it's money that you don't got to spend. All right. I know the draw to some of these positions is, well, I get to travel. And I go, that's fine. You could go places. You can't go everywhere. Right? It don't make no sense. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some other things. We'll get some of your text messages in as well. All right. So stay tuned for that. And we'll be right back.
Do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com. Fidelity.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper Collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay. I'm going to deal with some of your text messages. You can also call me 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. All right, so we were talking about the Prime Minister's travels. We're also going to get into some independent stuff. Let's look at your text messages. It says, at first, I was like, Mr. Sands just trying to be relevant. But when you look at it, he has a point. The PM needs to stay home for a minute and get his MPs moving. It's like we're at a standstill, increased crime, increased prices, nothing working. Get a plan executed. Okay, and so this is part of it too, right? So I don't agree that we're at a standstill, but I will say this. We are at a place where we're uncomfortable. $1 a gallon, right? And that's something that's in the government's power to deal with, but they seem so far unwilling to deal with it. And so when people go to the pumps, they're feeling it, right? And they're tying it directly to you, whether that's fair or not. Well, what's true is you could either cap the VAT on it or perhaps let the gas station operators keep some of the VAT. Hopefully that'll cause them to drive prices down. But people are seeing that. They're talking about BPL going up. It's murder after murder after murder, all right? You really have to understand that people do want to see you home for a while. They want to see you working. They don't mind if you travel, and they don't want to have a prime minister who's afraid to go out of the country. And this happens. Listen, I follow numerous Caribbean leaders, and I follow numerous Caribbean news organizations. Boy, as much as y'all is clown us, anyway, I follow numerous Caribbean news organizations, numerous leaders. So when Sandals opened a few months ago, Sandals, of course, a Jamaican company, Adam Stewart Andrew Holness, I almost said Bruce Golden. They're all Jamaican, what is it about? No, they flew Andrew Holness out here. Andrew Holness came out, right, to the opening of Sandals, which is fine. I think he was there a few years ago again. And Andrew Holness has released a statement from the office of the prime minister in Jamaica. Because apparently this was a bit of a little you know, storming a teacup or whatever like that. The Jamaicans were like, because on Twitter, he showed he was in the Bahamas, and on Twitter, the Jamaicans were like, what, the Bahamas don't have a prime minister? Why you got to go? Why you all the time going on in yard? You flitting about in the Bahamas with when they have a hotel that ain't got nothing to do with us, yada, yada, yada. You know, you spending taxpayer dollars to go fly to the Bahamas to go cheese up with Adam Stewart and the Bahamas PM. And so they released a statement. They were like, the prime minister was flown to the Bahamas on Adam Stewart's private jet, right? Boy, what are you going to do that for? That was an even bigger problem. What? The investor paying for you to fly down for the event? What happens next time when the investor got to negotiate with the government? You got to take your hands off. You can't win for losing. You know what I mean? So you can catch it either way. And so I say that to say the Bahamians aren't the only people who kick up with this. Because we always say, boy, y'all, nah, some of y'all dumb. I don't mean that to be insulting. That's just facts, right? Some of y'all don't think. If I get to it, I'll show you an example on the other side. But we ain't the only ones who make these things an issue. It happens a lot, particularly in the Caribbean, where there are a lot of problems. And listen, everyone's got issues, okay? Jamaica has a crime problem worse than ours. Let me say this. Where there's dense populations in Jamaica, they have a crime problem worse than ours. Like, you don't hear much about crime out in the mountains. And they've got economic problems, all right? Just as we have, they're concerned about spending. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at Andrew Holness, Jamaica had about 35%, if I remember correctly, it may have been lower, about 35% of the electorate voted in the last election, all right? And Holness won in a landslide. But I say that to say, it's not like there's this overwhelming swell of popularity for Holness. Although I did ask a Jamaican I know about Holness before the last election. They were like, he's going to win. I was like, you think so? They kind of kick people out pretty frequently here and in Jamaica. I don't know, he's going to win. Like, if the Jamaican who got their feet on the road, they could tell you what's going on. So I'd say people are always going to complain no matter what happens. And that's true. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at the same time, it does seem excessive. And they were just complaining about Holness going. I couldn't imagine Holness traveling with the size delegation that Davis has traveled with so frequently, and the Jamaican's not going. What's going on, bro? I couldn't. This says, why isn't the press lobbying for freedom of information? We are. But that's not going to solve all the issues. It says, you're 100% right, McCartney. All of those people do not need to be traveling. Fix the roads, build some schools, put basic infrastructure in the family islands. Do things to improve Bahamians' standard of living. You know who's move smart? Chester Cooper. You know, you don't hear his name up and nothing. Sticky, right? He's just his move smart, right? He went to the Middle East. Say, hey, they invite us. They pay for it. And let me come back and brief you. You had his contribution to Parliament. There's some promising things that could come out of that trip to the Middle East. But you can't have everybody traveling. It's not a good look. It's going to cause you problems, as well-intended as it may be. So to me, it's not that you're traveling. Although, again, you don't go to Rwanda and turn around and go, hey, what's up, y'all? I just checking it and then bounce to Suriname. I know the scheduling was a little weird, but it's back to back to back. You could pick and choose, you know what I mean? You ain't got to go. But I don't have a problem necessarily with you going at all. And they can pay for Anne-Marie too. But everybody else, all these other people, don't need to go. And that might sound short-sighted and petty, but it's our money. And we get to be short-sighted and petty when we're looking at how you're spending it. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side of this. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
What business then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora?
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were discussing the Prime Minister's travels. I mean, I didn't make an issue of it. I talked to Dwayne Sands about it. I mean, you know, let's not be naive. Like, what do we expect? Although, again, I wouldn't have made that he's gone the issue. As opposed to the fact that it's the delegation size. I don't know why everybody need to pile up in there, you know. And I would ask about accountability to taxpayers. How much does it cost? We do know that there is a budget for travel. And he said, well, you know, we're not going to go ahead and use, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to use all of it, all right? It just means that, you know, that's what it is. So we don't necessarily need to use all of it. So firstly, when does government not spend all the money? Like, because the prevailing wisdom, and he is the Minister of Finance, but the prevailing wisdom in government ministries and agencies is, if we don't spend it, they're not going to give us as much, right? We got to spend it. We spent this, and now we need a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, that's the prevailing wisdom. We got to spend it. You can't give us that promise at all, all right? That's first. The second thing is we need value for money. So, and I'm not trying to diss nobody. This just is what it is. Just wear it and live with it. I don't see anything coming out of these meetings other than the Prime Minister speaking that justifies such a large crew going, okay? Real talk. I don't see anything that's come out in private, in the news media that justifies even them going. You're not teaching me anything about, yeah, it's nonsense, you know? So anyway, if it were me and I was the Office of the Prime Minister, I was like, you know, even if I went as media, I would be like, okay, there's a lot of interesting things going on in CARICOM, all right? So we got the CARICOM Agri Forum, which is really has the possibility to change the way we interact in CARICOM with regard to food sustainability, a real opportunity to change it, all right? And opportunities for us to make money. You do have the climate change issue. You have people who are moving more quickly into renewable energy than we are. There's stuff to learn, right? You got interesting people in CARICOM. Of course, there's always Mia Motley. She's there. You got Grenada has a new prime minister, Dickon Mitchell. He just got sworn in a couple of weeks ago. This guy's 44. He looks like he's 28, 25, you know? But there's developments happening, you know? And I think we could really position ourselves well to understand how CARICOM has developed, what is going on. Like Davis talked about Trinidad and Venezuela. He talked about to sympathize, making the U.S. sympathetic to our causes in the Caribbean. I don't see anything coming out of these meetings that requires everybody else to go. Like, I'm glad the Prime Minister is going to making speeches. And he needs to meet people. He, of course, has to have a delegation. The size of the delegation, you're going to have to start accounting to the people on. And I think that's only fair, right? It is our money. And the fact that you said, well, we have $15 million. We'll spend it how we want. Well, that depends. You know what I mean? Like, who all's going? Like, and why are they going? And I don't think those are illegitimate questions to ask at all. Now, again, Duane Sands is probably trying to stir up some trouble, and that's fine. You know, he's Her Majesty. He's part of Her Majesty's loyal opposition. All right. He's chairman of the party that makes up Her Majesty's loyal opposition, and we expect him to loyally rebut what the government of the day is doing on behalf of Her Majesty, right? So there's nothing that I would say he's you know, I wouldn't say he's wrong in bringing it up. I think his focus is wrong. I don't know that Brave being here is going to like stop these people from killing each other. All right, this says the Prime Minister has traveled just as much. I want to talk about independence thing too. As much as the Minister of, and another thing, the Prime Minister has traveled just as much as the Minister of Foreign Affairs, whose main job is to establish diplomatic ties and encourage diplomatic discourse between the countries. The PM should be the closer in closing these negotiations and signings in the Bahamas, now CARICOM and regional meetings. Yes, he needs to attend, but flying to meet all of these individuals, no. If you want to invest in the Bahamas, then come here. We'll show you a good time and you can meet with the PM. Fellas be traveling like King Jaffe Joffer for coming to America. Everyone got to go. Like, even if you come to me and you're like, look, man, I could take this first year. I got to go meet everybody, right? It ain't an eye focus. And it ain't going to be like that in the years that follow. It says, Juan, help me understand this. You sued me, got an undisclosed amount of money, and still going to work for my company. Fernando and all who got paid from the lawsuits need to stay on retirement. I don't want them to work for me. I mean, why would you say that? If you feel as you work for an organization for many years, you feel the law was violated, right? And I understand they were talking about the Prime Minister's authority. But man, in my reading of the Constitution, the police commissioner, his authority to move his personnel about supersedes that of the Prime Minister when it comes to assistant commissioners of police. I don't see, in fact, insofar as Paul Roll speaking, and I'm hoping to get Paul Roll here soon if I can, insofar as Paul Roll saying he had to have a directive from them in writing, I don't think he was constitutionally bound to follow that directive. Now, I see Minnis is not saying, which is, you know, anyway. Yeah, Fernando and those sued because they felt they were mistreated. And you could look at it and go, okay, well, Monroe was the lawyer of some of the guys who went on leave and he sued. And now he's Minister of National Security and Fernando's directly under him. The problem with Ewain Monroe is you're going to have a lot of crossed lines because Wayne Monroe was probably the most prominent lawyer in the country prior to joining cabinet. You'd have to show me someone else who has such a wide array of constitutional, besides Fred Smith, someone who has such a wide array of experience with suing the government over the constitutionality of certain things. You'd have to build a strong case for me to understand that there's anyone who surpassed Wayne Monroe in that. All right. So again, you're making it a problem. I wouldn't have all them come. You know, I'll be like, y'all chill out. Good afternoon, Juan. Is it strange that as we embark upon our 49th year of independence, we need the U.S. government to approve our leadership, taking steps to alleviate some of the financial hardships on the Bahamian people due to high oil prices? The U.S. sanctions Russia, China, and many other countries constantly, still does business with them. Are we truly independent? I don't know. I can be real with you. And no one has shown this to me yet. What you're speaking about, the prime minister talking about dealing with Venezuela. And I see the U.S. has said something about it. Well, a source from the U.S. Embassy. I don't know what the prime minister is referring to and what stops us from trading with Venezuela. I don't know. Maybe someone could point me to how that impacts us in terms of what sanction can they impose on us, is my question. I mean, they can impose sanctions on us, but what penalty could they levy on us for doing business with PDVSA? I would like to know. We got a caller on the line? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Afternoon, Juan McCartney.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I guess what Dr. Science is saying, for the last 4 years, Prime Minister Menace didn't leave no footprint. So it makes brave David the Prime Minister looking like he's traveling too much, but he's the head of state. Do you know that G7 conference with Biden has come from? Do you know that cost the taxpayers about $100 million? For the president to just to go on the plane? You're 50 cars have to go. Everybody got to go that he needs. The choppers got to go on a commercial cargo jet. He can only fly, 12 Force One got to go. I mean, the prime minister have to travel. Our prime minister take Delta. Imagine the president moved the whole White House, where is he going, to the G7, and where he went to? The taxpayers don't complete it. That's his job, to travel to wherever, NATO. And Brave is traveling. Have you seen Brave make one fun trip yet?
Mm-hmm.
Hey?
Have I seen what?
Have you made one fun trip? Like going on he's working on our behalf.
He's
Prime Minister of the Bahamas.
Right.
And he takes Delta. He don't have an Air Force One or Air Force Two. He don't have a presidential car that must go with him.
Mm.
That trip caused the United States, even the satellites had to move when Biden moved. It caused the taxpayers but $200 million. If it goes even to a different state, that's $10 million of taxpayer got to be spent when the president likes to move.
I see. If it cost Joe Biden $100 million to attend the G7,
yes,
then they need to have that in the States. There's no way.
I'll give you an example.
Barack Obama, right, got a ton of flack, and they called him the most traveling, most golfing president in the history of the United States, yada, yada, yada. Obama, his travel cost for his entire 8-year term was less than $100 million. Trump superseded him, I think, 10 times over 4 years.
Two Air Force One got to go. In case one breaks down.
I mean, I'm not doubting it costs millions, but $100 million? They need to have that in the States.
Even the 50 cars got to go on a cargo, getting a number of cars are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Even the pilot got to move on, but he has to be in his car and call anybody in the world.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the travel that's taken place by the Prime Minister. I don't agree with Sands on that.
Do you know in the back of Air Force One, CNN got a seat? Fox News, the press got to go. See, our press don't go to see what PM's doing. On Air Force One, Fox News got a seat. CNN got a seat in the back of Air Force One. Because that's the people's plane.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Just the press, y'all need to go and interview people who we're talking to. Instead of him going by himself, we think that it's a fun trip. He going as prime minister. He didn't travel a lot. Even when President was going red as minister, he said he took a whole band to France and Europe of the Brentwoods here. It was in the 80s. The prime minister was travel. I mean, I don't know where Dr. Science, you know, that number. He's not a lazy man. He's not a lazy man. He likes to
work. All right. Thanks, bro. Appreciate you. All right. The prime minister should travel. I don't know that we need to look at what Joe Biden's spending to attend the G7. Because it's called the Group of Seven because they're among the seven richest nations on Earth. So I don't know if we look at them. Well, they're spending money over there in the U.S. They spend money on a lot of things in the U.S. we can't afford. They could print their own money. Okay, we got a thing. We have another caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Listen, you said exactly what I was calling in to say, that the gentleman that is trying to compare our flying prime minister to the U.S. president that travel and how they travel. He got to be on a different planet because we can no way, no shape, no form can be compared to them.
No.
And the problems that we have in this country, I can understand that the prime minister must travel. And I know most of those stuff he wants to be too face-to-face so people can meet him. However, what happened to Zoom? Can some of those meetings be done by Zoom or that gone out of the ballpark after COVID died down? You understand? And I think the amount of money that they have put aside for travel, I don't think we'll ever find out what they are spending. Just like Mr. Watson said before, and it's not going to be disclosed. So I guess.
But isn't that an astounding statement to make?
It is.
No, that you're not going to tell us how you spent our money?
No, because
the Auditor General is required by law to make sure that we understand how the money is being spent, but you won't disclose what individual trips cost?
They're not going to say. So they can spend that amount up to $15 million, and they won't tell us that it has already been spent. I guess it'll be a final maybe in the next budget where they allocate extra to it. But like you say, they have to spend it in order to get more. And I feel like that's going to be the next year. And I don't understand why you need $15 million to spend in 1 year for travel.
Neither do I.
What's the plan? And you're saying that you're getting productivity out of these travel, but we're not seeing anything. We're getting a lot of words, but we're not seeing what's going on. You know, let me see somebody come in. And like, I think one of you who said it earlier, bring them here. Let's show them off here. Invite them here. You know, we don't always have to go there. And then when we go with such a loud crowd. We don't even know, that's another thing. How much people is going? We don't even know that.
Yeah, because agreed. Thank you much.
They're going to be open and transparent, but and honestly, I am not hearing much of anything that's going on since they came in. It's like everything that I hear is what happened under the last administration, which is old stale stories to me now. But we're not hearing much of anything going on under this administration. I'm sorry. I'm already disappointed thus far because I expected much, much, much better. My hopes were so high for them, and I'm already being disappointed a little bit out of time.
Well, you know, I thank you for calling. My is that we have to try to understand that these trips aren't a trip where you go and then you go, hey, man, we got all the oil rights to Trinidad. You're not going to come back with, oh, yeah, hey, man, we got the U.S. to commit to $1 billion to help us alleviate climate change, X, Y, Z, you know. And Brad Davis, and I think rightly so, went to the Summit of Americas and talked about possible debt forgiveness. I'd try it too, you know. So he's not going to come back and go, yep, all the foreign nations agreed to cancel all our foreign debt. No problem. It's these things are to develop relationships and to start to come to terms with what you can do together and work together. So I don't expect him to come back and I'll be like, boom, here we go. Bang, look at that. Got you something from every trip. All right. But you should explain to me what you're spending on the trip. All right. You should explain to me why X, Y, Z need to go on the trip so that I understand. And I don't think all these people need to go at all. All right. This says, well, I'm glad you mentioned Mia Motley. I had occasion to accompany PM Motley on several trips. She takes an ADC. Her assistant and one of her advisors, sometimes two. Let it be known that her advisors are esteemed persons in their field, like Dr. Avinash Prasad, Professor Emeritus at Cambridge University. All right, good. It says, Minnis gets swat down. His power grab was widely panned. He'll be in the corner for a bit, but don't worry, he'll pop up again in a few weeks, bolder than ever with another crazy power grab. That's his pattern. Says, good day. Do Fernanders sue? They'll get Bahamian people, won the lawsuit, got the money, got promoted to police commissioner, and the Bahamian people continue to give him a salary on top of the new lawsuit victory. This is not a real country. All my poor children and grandchildren will be paying these debts forever. I mean, again, you could probably say, you think Fernander should not have sued, but he did sue, and he should be entitled to a settlement if that's what he's doing with the government. All right. And I don't know what the settlement is. I'm okay with it. That's me. This says, one, don't lie. The Guardian sell out to Haitians, eh? Okay. Says, I asked because all the things going on with the Haitian invasion, coal mining, crown land theft, people lives being threatened by Haitian, and you ain't talking nothing about it, even though Independence Day coming, and all I hear is Creole all day. Be honest, they have your hands tied behind your back, eh? I mean, real talk, yeah. Like, there's a secret. Like, let me not, y'all gonna take me seriously. If that's what you want to think, yeah, sure. I'm sold out to the Haitians. And moneyed that they're paying us to not talk about what they're doing as a collective. I don't know. I don't want to tell you people anymore. This says, Juan, I'm a retired member of the RBDF. I'd really wish for you to throw out to the government and the financial secretary, why can't we get our progression funds? It's been 5 years and counting. We were made to believe last we would have gotten it and no one saying anything about it. Okay, I don't know anything about it, but I will seek to understand a little bit about it. It says, the PM, I understand, but all his posses like to go for luxury treatment and the pretty ladies. All right. Hi, Juan. Don't we have a minister of the environment? We are duplicating portfolios. Climate change? It says, I personally believe he's traveling a bit too much. Tell Davis to at least stay home for 8 months straight. He and the PLP criticized the FNM. Now they're in. They can now justify the very same excuses they shot down when the FNM was in power. Hypocrisy. Boy, again, I don't have an issue with him going as everybody else. Says, you're 100% right. All of those people do not need to be traveling. Fix the road, build some schools, put basic infrastructure in the family island, do things to improve Bahamian standard of living. I mean, and what the problem, we can move on from the travel in a few if you want, but it is a hot button issue. The problem too is that it's the signal it sends, right? So you're traveling. It sends a signal with a big coalition, and it sends the signal things are much better than they actually are. Because here's the issue. Our government's in a very tough fiscal position, our country, our economy, all right? Things have opened up, things are well, yes, but again, we're double junk. We have massive debt servicing costs, all right? We are not seeing the kind of revenues that would allow us to get off of deficit spending right up and now. And the fact of the matter is a recession within the next year is probably more likely than not in the United States of America. And that will mean something for us. We'll see. But the signal it sends is that everything's fine. When things are looking better after the horrors of the pandemic and Dorian, but everything's not fine. All right. And you just want to be careful of the signal that you telegraph. All right. Let's take a break. We're going to be right back on the other side.
Frank, what you doing?
Looking at some new insurance options, Uncle Joe.
Insurance? You should ask me. I've got a guy on Collins Avenue who does my motor insurance. My home policy is through a lady I work with. Now, Johnny from the gym, he's going to hook me up with medical and life. Now, for pensions, I'd like to spread that one around a little bit.
Or I could call CG Atlantic. They do all of that.
With all the insurance and pensions cover you need in one place, we're like an uncle that doesn't give you bad advice. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay e-commerce options We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
That's right, boys and girls, get ready to play basketball at the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
The Cotton Tree on Bernard Road has a deal for you, animal lovers. We are the sole distributor of the affordable Super Can dog and cat food. Mothers, we also distribute Bumble Pampers, the most inexpensive in the Bahamas, plus wipes, powdered and liquid detergents, disinfectants, and the delicious Max Fly energy drink. The Cotton Tree Convenience Store on Bernard Road, Fox Hill. Open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Call us at 364-6249 or 805-5679 for more information.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Match for home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance. Do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Gentlemen, welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we were talking about the Prime Minister's travel, and we're talking now, hopefully we can move on. I want to talk a bit about the issue with the audits of the foreign ministry. So the Auditor General is going to be traveling to Europe this week to conduct an audit of the Bahamas Overseas Mission in Brussels, the United Kingdom, and Geneva. All right. Now, if you'd recall recently, the Minister of Labor and Immigration, Keith Bell, he revealed that the Minister administration spent more than $500,000 to furnish the apartment of a Bahamian ambassador in Europe during the COVID-19 pandemic. The embassy in Brussels, it was. All right. Bastian says the audit wasn't triggered by the revelation, but he couldn't do the audit any sooner because of the ongoing pandemic. However, he said concern raised over the expenditure on furniture will likely be captured in the audit. So my thing is this, if it's quite comfortable with disclosing the spending, because see, again, this is the Bahamian people's money. I know it's like they take it personal. It's a PLP F&M thing. Tit for tat, butter for fat. You kick my dog, I kill your cat. I get it. You guys think it's about your own personal stuff. No problem. It's not. Okay. This is all our money. So to A, I don't want to know the dirt and I want to know the juice. But at the same time, you're comfortable with disclosing how much was spent on a bed and a rug and a mirror. But yet you have the press secretary saying we're not going to be disclosing how much was spent on individual trips. Okay? So we do this thing where we pick and choose what we wish to disclose about, and we do not remain consistent with it. So the same way that you can come to Parliament and go, here's the bill for the furniture, which is excessive and abusive, you should be able to come to Parliament and to the public and go, here's what was spent on this trip. Here's what was spent on that trip. It was necessary to go for X, Y, Z. I mean, if you want to get creative, you could try to tell me why everybody else went. But I know for a fact that some people go on these trips who don't really add anything to it and don't have any marketable like skills per se, outside of just being familiar with the current political party. And that's been the case, you know, a lot of times with politics in this country. So it just bees like that, but it's not, it doesn't make sense. Just because we're doing it, it doesn't mean that we keep doing it and being abusive with the people's money. I think that it's abusive to spend this much money. And some of the travel stuff going on is also abusive as well. That's my opinion. All right. This says, good day, sir. What do you think about this? A school community service program. More girls than boys attend. All the boys sent to the warehouse to work. The girls left in the office to work. This was so stereotypical of this organization. I regret not having another alternative for my son, who's very computer literate. Just very disappointed that we have not evolved beyond the stereotypical thinking. Okay, what are you saying? That there is a school community service program where more girls than boys attend and all the boys are sent to the warehouse to work and the girls are left to work in the office. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that makes sense, no. Absolutely not. You got to do something different than that. All right? This says, okay, that seems to be a repeat of a previous text. All right, so let's talk about independence. Today's U.S. independence is the 4th of July. They're having a big bashment. We had a bashment with them, or they had a bashment, and we attended last week. I think it was Friday on the USS Larsen. United States Embassy, of course, invests in likely over $300 million in the new U.S. Embassy, which is going to help change the face of downtown Nassau. All right. And our ties are enduring. All right. We enjoy a great relationship with the United States of America. It is not a perfect nation. We are not a perfect nation. It has deep-seated to roil it today. But it certainly is a story of success when you consider the origins of the United States of America and what all has happened over the past 500 or so years, maybe. We really need to understand that a strong, healthy relationship with America is good for the Bahamas. All right. We want to be friends. We don't want to be offshoots. Although, anyway, and we want to be able to continue these relationships. So lots of people have relationships with the United States. Lots of countries have large diasporas in the United States. The Bahamas is no different. We're getting to a point, though, that we are becoming, and I can't speak to anybody else, although I'm sure this is the case for other people, but I'm speaking to us because this is my country. We're getting to a point in terms of our interaction with the United States of America as a country, as citizens, okay, and as does the United States, make no mistake about it. Although they have a lot of great success stories in many parts of America. All right, we have a lot of challenges, and I think the time has come to start understanding if we can leverage our relationship to alleviate some of our challenges, okay? And I know that we say, well, we do business with the United States all the time and Americans all the time, X, Y, Z. I don't know that we've not gone far enough. Very simple things that I think we could do in order to relationship with the U.S. As opposed to where we are now. So when we left, so what's insane to me, right? I saw a video the other day on YouTube, I wouldn't recommend you do this, of someone took a jet ski from Florida, one of the Florida Keys, to Bimini, right? And so that's where we are. We're close enough that you can take your jet ski and go to Florida from Bimini, right? Yet the Bahamas is blocked out from so much of what is open to Americans and Canadians in the U.S., and we're right next door. And I don't understand why we haven't deepened that relationship in terms of free trade, in terms of being allowed to work, because we do get this sense that, we don't want anybody come working here. And the Americans getting work when they work in hotels, we got a problem with that. And if that's not a reciprocal thing, then that certainly is a problem. We have a system where the United States is recruiting a lot of our nurses, a lot of others. And we have a system where many, many Bahamians have chosen to be educated in the United States and their families remain here. And they want to visit, they want to move back and forth. We have the issue where sometimes there wouldn't be proper medical services in certain islands, so they go to the States to have children. Therefore, you have a lot of children who are Bahamian who are also United States citizens, and we have to navigate that. And on top of that, our population is a small one and really wouldn't pose a problem to enter into many agreements with the United States that we travel, although it's not terribly difficult now. More educational opportunities, more infrastructural opportunities, and to really start to design systems that facilitate a greater amount of trade. And we have yet to live up to that challenge. So I recall Fred Mitchell talking about, there was discussions with the United States, he was on a show talking about, you know, we had some discussions with the United States about allowing Bahamians to work in the United States for X period of time or be educated in the United States at rates that are favorable. So for instance, if you're coming from the Bahamas, you are going to what's not too expensive, let's say Palm Beach Atlantic or something like that, not U of M. Most people can't afford that. But if you're coming from the Bahamas and you're going a couple hundred miles and you go to the university, you're going to university, let's not say Palm Beach, let's say somewhere in Miami, Florida Memorial University, okay? And you're going to Florida Memorial University, outside of scholarship opportunities, you're paying out-of-state tuition, right? Or you're paying international tuition, right? But yet somebody who is from farther away, but yet still is American, will be able to attend the school for much less money. And the barrier to getting your visa, the barriers to getting your visa, et cetera, are pretty significant. All right. You got to qualify in all this, but it's pretty significant. So I've never understood why we never sought to, at least with Florida, have a relationship with Florida where we consider the amount of trade that we do and trying to strengthen that, right? So the tariffs that exist between borders, Lang could tell you more about this. You guys were hell bent on not having a WTO. The tariffs that exist between borders, they don't make any sense to me. Not with the United States and the Bahamas, where we don't make stuff. Remember the guy the other day, y'all, we don't make boats? Okay, so we don't make stuff. And we're going to get our stuff from the U.S. and China. And the U.S. gets a lot of its stuff from China, right? We have massive hurricanes every couple of years that destroy a lot of our infrastructure. And we sometimes get some aid, we get some help. But we haven't been able to build it in a resilient way with assistance from the United States. We haven't taken advantage of it. We have a failing power grid on New Providence. But time and time again, when we have U.S. interests who want to work with us in terms of energy, we see that there are some complaints that, well, you know, the process wasn't fair, it wasn't straightforward, it wasn't transparent. And they go and complain to the affairs of the prime minister or whomever, right? We have a system where the United States is aggressive in prosecuting people who are involved, who they believe are involved in conspiracies to ship and sell drugs and guns to the United States, and people, which is as it should be. But we also have a process where we get a lot of deportees back into the Bahamas. We get a lot of people who come from the Bahamas who go to prison in the United States and come back. And yet we don't get that sort of assistance with our own prison reform. And we do have a lot of assistance with drug interdiction and arms trafficking and trafficking in persons interdiction. But there hasn't been this robust relationship where we say we will be able to provide the Bahamas with certain things to make sure that our interests are met as well. Because when you have a bunch of deportees whose parents took them to the United States, they end up getting involved in crime, they get shipped back here. We're the ones at the disadvantage. Yes, they were wrong to go there in the first place, but they were children. We're at a disadvantage now because these people have come back here. All right. And it's on us to take care of them. So I think that what we need to look at with our relationship to the United States is to deepen it. All right. We can be sovereign, absolutely. But we have to realize where our interests are, okay? So when the United States says, we got a problem with China's involvement in the Bahamas, X, Y, Z, and we're gonna say, hey, no problem. I get it. You're in competition with the Chinese, that's fine. But what you're gonna have to do is you're gonna have to make me as attractive an offer as China's going to make. So for instance, a Chinese company bought Bahamar. All right. Did we have U.S. companies and they go to U.S. company and go, hey man, you want us to have a close relationship with you? Let's look at this. Let's see. You guys know a bunch of rich people. Let's see if we can get someone to buy into this resort. And so we don't do things like that. All right. So travel should be made easier. Work back and forth in both countries should be made easier. Trade in terms of goods, in terms of services should be made easier. We're treated in some respects like we are any other country in the world, and yet we're right next door to the United States. And nothing, and this seems petty, right? But nothing kills me as much as when I turn on like television and there's a Spanish-speaking program and I'm asking why. And they said, well, that's because you guys are part of the Caribbean, and Latin America and the Caribbean are lumped together. And there's more Spanish people speaking people in Latin America and the Caribbean than there are English speaking people. And so you get the Spanish language shows and there you go. So I don't know why we don't negotiate our own stuff with the United States to try to have that sort of more robust relationship to try to increase the level of trade. I am not certain why we do not dollarize our economy. They do so in, they have it in Turks. I don't know why we don't do it. All right. If you look at what's going on? Some Americans come to the Bahamas. They're in the Bahamas for long periods of time, all over. We should be able to have very easy financial transactions. We shouldn't have to worry terribly about exchange rates, et cetera. You do want to look at exchange control, but that's only to keep the peg going. We need to look at what the next level of involvement with the United States is moving forward for the Bahamas. And I think the ties should deepen. And again, does the United States have problems? Sure. But it's also got a great deal of wealth and a great, 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 great deal of resources that I think we could take better advantage of. All right. Y'all just want to take care of us. We right here. Y'all help us. Y'all come, you know, deal with us. Let's have our own stuff going on. We can have our stuff with the Caribbean as well. We can have our stuff with whomever as well. But let's deepen this relationship. Let's see if we could get it, you know, going a bit better. All right. And drop some of these barriers that are casting international and proximity. And the relationship and the history doesn't have much to do with it. And I'd like to start thinking along those lines. We've had a lot of U.S. congressmen and senators have said things along these lines. Marco Rubio, Rick Scott, others, Maxine Waters always here, right? We don't even have a proper U.S. ambassador for over a decade now. They put a name forward now, but we haven't had an ambassador for the longest. All right. And you do want to have a sovereign nation so that when you say, well, everything the U.S. believes in doesn't align with necessarily everything we believe in. And so we want to take our time with certain issues. And that's the benefit of sovereignty. But in terms of trade and relationships, I don't know why we don't make these easier. For instance, they've got the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada, the U.S. and Mexico. That really allows for a lot of ease of entry for goods and for people, all right? So that's where I think the relationship should go moving forward. We're gonna talk about our independence, not today, we don't have a lot of time left. We're gonna talk about our independence soon, but we have got to deepen our relationship with the United States in terms of everything, food, energy, communications, all of it. And we should be seeking to partner with the United States that's sitting there to help advance us as a Bahamas. Because a lot of people sit there and go, well, you know, we don't want these guys in our business. We always sell out to foreigners. The foreigners come here and do whatever they want, X, Y, Z. I think if you want Bahamas to compete, you're going to have to really beef things up. We can compete on any stage, sure, right? But in terms of the competitiveness of educated people in the United States and what's going on here, we got to beef these things up. And we got to make it more convenient for Americans to want to do business robustly and over and repeatedly with the Bahamas. And if we could do that, I think we'd really be cooking with gas moving forward. Because we always want to say, well, let's have some things that are going to generate critical mass in the Bahamian economy, and we got to diversify and do all that. And all that's true. We got to diversify. Yeah, sure. We got to do some things that are going to generate some more things for us. But you'd be a fool to have a rich friend and not seek to see how this rich friend can help you become richer. If you're not seeking to become wealthy and your friends are wealthy, then you're kind of wasting everybody's time, aren't you? You're just doing it for friendship and for fun. We need to leverage our relationship to squeeze more juice out of this lime. Okay? So let's do that. Let's be intentional about it. All right. Let's try to understand that we're in this together and that we're stronger with our allies and developing relationships than we are by ourselves. All right. Now, there's a lot going on. You tell me about concessions and American involvement in the U.S. and historical involvement of America, and all that's true. But if we could start leveraging our relationships, particularly, I think, to me, this would be a good thing, but someone who's in finance could say better. I don't see why we don't seek to get this hedge of protection that the U.S. is willing to put around itself in terms of its offshore sectors that we have here. I don't see why we got to go this alone. I'd be seeking to develop that relationship much more deeply. Because when the United States gets ready, it just says we'll ignore the European Union. We have a blacklist. who you blacklisting? This party keeping on going. And the United States has the largest economy in the world. That's the largest economy the world's ever seen. The U.S. economy accounts for 2/3 of global commerce, right? And they're right next door. Florida's a big part of that. All right. So I think we definitely need to increase that relationship. Am I saying everybody flee and go to the U.S.? No, absolutely not. It's just one man, you act like they want to lift everyone out of poverty. I don't think that's their goal. Just keep the status quo as their goal. How can they keep power if no one depends on them financially? Yeah, I mean, and that's unfortunate. You know, that's unfortunate. Say, hey, Juan, what's your take on Clayton Fernandez's lawsuit deal? Like, I don't know why they won't disclose it. I got to see it to understand it better. All right? This says, yes, many yeses. Why is trade and employment so restricted between us and the USA? And why are we lumped with Latin America for cable when we speak English? We accept their products and marketing and advertise American businesses in direct competition with local services. We do need to leverage our geopolitical position better. We have more value than we give ourselves credit for. Absolutely. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. Why in the world people are focusing on how much the government is spending? I feel that we should be more concerned about bringing in new investment that would create more jobs for Bahamians. I am more concerned with them building relationships than the money they're spending. My problem is the people that they're taking along. I don't know that all of them necessarily need to go. But there's something to be said that, hey, man, even if I took 500 people, if I can bring back something for the Bahamas and it bears fruit, then it was worth it. You just got to show me where it's worth it. Juan, the texter's right. The one from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Bahamas Defense Force head person is making overtime money from 2016 to have officers' salaries corrected. And to date, those persons are still waiting. Well, that's shameful. BDF Human Resources, look into it. Juan, even global entry. Persons from Canada and the UK can apply for global entry, which expedites their travel from jurisdictions outside of the US into the US. Bahamians, however, are not even qualified to apply for such access. This, I believe, is what our ambassadors should be working on. Yeah, absolutely. Juan, do you know if Brave going on one pleasure trip since being PM? Dr. Sands is being mischievous because Minnis was lazy with low self-esteem and just stayed here and did nothing. Juan, you don't have to be here to still run things. He has good communication to his office. Like when President Biden traveled, he still is president of the U.S. Yeah, I agree. Brave don't need to be here to run things. I think the delegation size is the problem. All this talk about travel is rhetoric. We live in a global village, so if the meetings are in different parts of the world, then we must go. However, we do have the right to ask about the cost and the amount of persons traveling. Absolutely. It says, we have an absentee prime minister and a speechwriter. Can email him updates to any speech. The entourage is too massive. I wouldn't call him an absentee problem. It says, there is the Florida Caribbean program at public universities in Florida that allows students from certain Caribbean countries, including Bahamas, to obtain state tuition rates after their first year. Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that. So I benefited from it when I studied at FIU. Yeah, absolutely. We need to be doing all that. Like, I want to get to know you better. You know what I mean? I want to get closer. And especially y'all got all these resources and stuff too. We need some of that resource. Only 400,000 of us. We can fix it. What you want us to fix, the Constitution or deal with the immigration? No problem. That ain't no issue. We get that done. Do you want us to deal with some of this poverty and the hospital? We can deal with that. That ain't no problem. Let's help us. We hardworking people. We ain't gonna send you no duds. Anyway, we got to get out of here. A number of us are hardworking anyway. We got to get out of here, and we'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Z Live, off the record, with Shavar Belang is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.